Hello, welcome to the 130th episode of my podcast, Currency. I'm glad that you tuned in. This is a special episode because I'll open this episode by talking about a feud that I had on Twitter. A couple episodes ago, I was talking about a feud that I had on Twitter, and I said that I lost that argument. And it was nice of me to concede that I didn't have to. It's not like I necessarily, it's not like a full-blown loss because I was still behind the comments that I made. But I wanted to counter that by bringing up a Twitter argument I had recently that I won. And I mean, it's up to whoever to decide. I'm sure that plenty of people would say, "Oh, you lost that argument," or whatever. But the reason I'm claiming victory because I like the comment before I put it out, I like it now. I mean, that's why I'd say that I won. It's because my comment is still, I don't know. My comment stands. I guess you guys can be the judge. And I just wanted to go back into this just for fun. Just for the sake of exposure. Just for no other reason but to expose something unnecessarily. I don't know why I'm describing the reason why I would do this. It's to summarize it's because it is unnecessary. This is unnecessary. These things, Twitter is unnecessary. And I'm doing this to benefit my Twitter audience so they might know. As I'm sure they were wondering, what's going on behind the scene? I mean, they could be. What's going on behind the scenes of this guy, especially followers of mine that don't know anything about me? But it's for the benefit of all of my many audiences across all of my many platforms. But I will. So I'll recount the post by post as it happened. I'll let you in on what I was thinking about it. Okay, so the original post that set off this feud that I was in was from some guy named Twitter handle, and follow me on Twitter to follow my Twitter, my excapades, at excapades, I guess, is a somebody must have taken that already. To as somebody who has that handle that is describing their excapades on X, but to describe, follow me on Twitter at Steel Connor, capital S T E A L, capital C O N N E R. Okay, so the original post that set off this feud, so to speak, was somebody took pictures of advertisements that are in American Family Field where the Brewers play, and then posted and captioned these advertisements with the caption, "Jesus Christ, Milwaukee." And that person that did this is a Twitter handle named at Dom underscore Frederick. And I'll put these posts on the screen for anybody watching, but if for listeners, I'll just try to describe it. But pretty much the original post was there's two separate pictures of advertisements in American Family Field. One of the advertisements for Brewers games is Wisconsin First Fridays, 50% off tickets for Wisconsin residents, first Friday game each month. The other advertisement is Sunday Bundle, $62, four tickets, four junior hot dogs, four junior sodas, plus parking. That's a pretty good deal. And this person went onto Twitter and he had the gall to post, to caption, "Jesus Christ, Milwaukee," to describe these advertisements. My impression was that he's saying Milwaukee is cheap and they are cheaper than the next organization over. Somebody who is not Milwaukee, they're like, "Whoa, Milwaukee, you're so deal-centric." And this Brewers fan gets on. He looks at this post and he quote tweets it, meaning that he takes a picture, he captions above it his own spin on it. And he says, this guy is named John Brewer's Raptor Egan, and he's the person that I feud with on here. And he says about this picture, about this captioning, he says, "I don't understand how a team having affordable tickets available for 20 of their 81 games is anything negative. To say it's a good thing to have deals, you jackass," to the original guy. And so I looked at this post and I wanted to write something, and I wanted to write something once I looked at the comments under John Brewer's Raptors Egan's post, and all of the comments were just sarcastic, like, "Yeah, I bet this guy hates deals. Yeah, what, he likes spending money or whatever it is." And it made me have anti-Milwaukee sentiments just seeing how all of the comments were in unison, and they were all just like this same sarcastic like, "Oh yeah, this guy doesn't like deals," which I agreed with them, but I felt like that wasn't a solution to what was being said, because it's like it's a supply and demand debate is what I saw. And the one guy is saying, John Brewer's Raptor Egan is like, and his followers who are commenting whatever sarcastic things, his side of the debate seemed to be that ignore supply and demand, or ignore just like any sort of debate about cheaper is better, because they're just cheaper, maybe cheaper isn't as good or whatever, because other organizations maybe don't have as many deals because they want to like maintain a high price as their standard or whatever. And there is something like, the reason the guy is saying Jesus Christ Milwaukee is because Milwaukee would be one of the main organizations that you'd be like, they are, maybe they're going too cheap, or there's something funny about it, that they're like offering these deals, that it might like cheapen the experience or make their organization look cheaper or whatever. And so I wanted to bring everybody together, like both sides. I wanted to say, hey, you know, maybe it's not the best idea to just like flippantly dismiss somebody who's presenting this problem to your organization. Maybe it's better to have higher prices. So I wanted to add that in. And so I commented under John Brewer's Raptor Egan's quote tweet. I put a comment and I said, "It's nice that they make it affordable," and I'll put this on the screen. And you'll, if you're watching, you'll see that it's up on the screen, and I will have been proven right. So my comment was, "It's nice that they make it affordable, except that businesses are not known for being nice. Higher prices from a business communicate higher standards. One could say, I like it when tickets are affordable. However, this is not a solution to the point being presented, where the point is that Milwaukee is cheap." Now, notice, now I'll take an aside here out of my comment to say this. I said, this is not a solution to the point being presented. I did not say this is not a solution to the problem being presented. And the reason I said that was very specific, which is that too much of the time, people associate solutions with problems. And it's really like, you can actually, you can associate trying to find a solution to a point, that is just as valuable to think of, that solutions are for points. They are not just for problems, because a point is something that's standing out the same way as a problem would be. I'm trying to say that points and problems are similar ideas. Like, when a point is presented that makes a bunch of people irritated, that they're all like sarcastic, like, "Oh no, you're not right." When a point is presented, that is like a problem. That's the same thing as a problem. And it's like, don't forget that points also need solutions. So anyways, so I said, "One could say I like it when tickets are affordable. However, this is not a solution to the point being presented, where the point is that Milwaukee is cheap." That's what the original guy was saying, in my opinion. The problem when you go cheaper, this is continuing with my comment, the problem when you go cheaper is that the buck doesn't stop there. It's a slippery slope all the way to the bottom. New paragraph. What happens at the bottom, though? You look at what Mr. Beast does, giving all of his money away to make more money, and see how much money, you see how much money he makes doing that. Milwaukee should see if they can keep making the same amount of money while giving away a number of games for free to the public. In the fashion of Mr. Beast. That's an aside. It's in the fashion of Mr. Beast. The Brewers should embrace the art of the deal and the culture of deals that they've created. Chef's kiss. And I didn't put chef's kiss. That's just something I added on just now. But I took the time to word this exactly how I wanted to word it. And I was excited about this post when I got finished writing it. I deleted a couple sentences that I didn't want, that I didn't want to be part of it. I didn't want people to see or get the idea. I didn't want people to get the wrong idea reading it, so I made sure to put it out there exactly how I wanted it. And I was excited about putting it out. I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted to say, because this is the dumbest thing that anybody could say. But also, all of it is correct. It's all it's chock full of the truth, actually. But it's like, silly. And it's silly to put all of this, you know. And that's what I thought. And the reason I liked this post the most, though, is where I said, the problem when you go cheaper is that the buck doesn't stop there. It's a slippery slope all the way to the bottom. And what I like about that idea is that it just sounds like a couple of cliches, but it's an idea that I hadn't thought of before that I thought that I was inspired by just as I was writing it, which is that it's interesting how when you cheapen something, that it's like the money is continually flowing out of your pockets. You can't grasp it anymore. Like, it's like that would be the fear anytime something gets cheaper. That's why there's other organizations that maintain a high standard of their prices and they don't offer these deals like Milwaukee does, is because they're afraid of going cheaper. Not that this is like an economic fact or anything. I didn't look up anything economical. I wasn't like inspired by economics knowledge I had. This is just a random theory that I'm working into this. And the theory is that it seems like it's just an idea. It seems like when it gets cheaper, you're always losing the money at that point. And it's because look at the U.S. government and that they're trillions of dollars in debt. What happens when the U.S. dollar gets cheapened, or when the currency of any nation becomes cheapened because they have to keep printing more of it or whatever? It's like the U.S. dollar has become cheapened because they keep printing more of it. But it's like as it is cheap and, you know, inflation, they're printing too much of the dollar. The buck doesn't stop there. When things get cheaper, it keeps moving and they keep making more of it. There's no stop to it. It's like the problem gets worse and worse. The buck doesn't stop there. When the U.S. dollar gets cheapened, it just gets worse. It gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, that is what is happening to the U.S. dollar. And that's what happens when currencies of a nation go completely out of control. They just their hyperinflation when like a country starts going out of business. And so I wanted to work that. I liked what I was saying, and I put it out. I'm like, oh, this is what I want to say. And so I was excited about saying it. I was like, when I put it out, I thought, I don't think anybody will like this or respond to it, because in the past, when I put out something that's very wordy, or like wordy enough, people are like exhausted by it or something, where they're just like, ah, I'm ignoring that because I'm not going to take the time to figure it out or whatever. So I thought that I don't think anybody will even reply. I mean, I hope that they would. I thought either that would happen or people will really like this or something. And so I typed that out in an evening, like maybe Friday evening, and then I went to sleep. And then when I woke up, I found that there I did get a reply, and it was from the original poster, John Brewer's Raptor Egan. And he quote tweeted what I said. And he he said to my quote tweet. Now he is at this point jumping into my life. He's commenting on this thing that I commented on. I commented on his thing. Now he is recommenting. He quote tweeted it. And he quote tweeted my comment. He said, "I'm not reading all that, but congrats or sorry." And I woke up and I read that, and I just typed out immediately a comment to his comment. And mine wasn't a quote tweet. Mine was just a comment to what he said. And I commented, two paragraphs is a lot, to tell him sarcastically that two paragraphs is not very much to read, because what I put was just two paragraphs. And he was like, "I'm not going to read all of that," because he's an idiot. And this experience made me realize how many idiots there are online that just, you know, that don't, like, they don't, they wouldn't consider that somebody actually, I don't know. My takeaway was, that's a foolish response, you know, to be like, "I'm not going to read all of that, but, I mean, sorry about you," you know? And, I commented that, and I put, two paragraphs is a lot. And that comment of mine got three comments and a like. One of the comments is from my friend Dave Adams, who knows who I am and knows that I was being sarcastic. As far as I can tell, he said that's roughly 8 to 10 sentences for two well-groomed paragraphs. And I wanted to make a comment to agree with what he was saying at behest of John Brewer's Raptor Egan. And so I commented under my comment, two paragraphs is a lot. I commented, at the 8-sentence mark, that's nearly a minute of reading, so I totally get it. To say that in no rational world is two paragraphs is a lot to read. And so once I said two paragraphs is a lot, John Brewer's Raptor Ian changed his tone all of a sudden, which is strange. And he said, "Write a blog then." Because all of a sudden, now what I'm saying is to be taken seriously, which is interesting because before it was to be dismissed without a second thought. And now, and then I put, when I commented at the 8-sentence mark, that's nearly a minute of reading, so I totally get it. John Brewer's Raptor Egan had a reply to that as well. He said, "By word 8, we all know it's full of shit and pointless. Keep defending bigots, though. Great look. A great look." I don't know what he means. Defending bigots is, I guess he's talking about the original post, he's calling the original poster a bigot. I don't know why he'd be a bigot just because he called Milwaukee cheap. But basically, this guy, Brewer's Raptor, was very triggered by what I said, because he commented a good number of things to me. He didn't just comment those things. Like, he got all this animosity all of a sudden for just a couple silly remarks that I made. Somebody commented underneath it, "I don't get the hostility." Okay, so like, John Brewer's Raptor Egan said, "I'm not reading all of that, but congrats or sorry." And that got 14 comments, a repost, and 54 likes, because he has a lot of followers. And they all thought that this was hilarious, I guess. And one of the 14 comments that he got was from somebody who said, "I don't get the hostility. You guys are both right, in a sense, and make decent points." And Brewer's Raptor did not like that. He's commenting all over this to reaffirm that I'm completely wrong and he's completely right. He said he is not making any points and my post is a joke. Oh, well, hearty har har then, sir. I did not, that your original post was a joke, I don't know that that is even possible, given that it is not a joke at all. I'm not reading all of that, but congrats or sorry, apparently is a joke. And so once he said that, I had to go back and be like, I wonder what he thinks is a joke about it. I guess because he said congrats sarcastically, and he thinks that that is a joke. It might be a joke to people who are not up to date on sarcasm, like, that haven't heard somebody say congrats sarcastically before. The first time I remember hearing somebody say congrats sarcastically is Obama said it to McCain in one of the 2008 presidential debates. McCain said something about seeing a baseball team, actually. Somebody. He saw a team win a game, and Obama, during the debate, was like, oh, congratulations. And so that was 16 years ago. So you're 16 years behind on your sarcasm. And even if you didn't know about that, Chris D'Elia blew the idea of congratulations being sarcastic out of the water by making a sarcastic podcast called Congratulations. That's been out for probably 6 years. Okay, so like, I guess that's part of what's the joke about what he said. And then the other part of the joke is that he said, I'm not reading all of that to my original comment, to my comment. He said, I'm not reading all of that, but congrats or sorry. And the or sorry part, I guess, is another part of what he declares to be a joke. Because it's like you should go to therapy or something. Like, oh, you need help. Oh, sorry that that happened to you, that you're... that you really had all of this to say, you know. And he fails to realize that Twitter posts don't really have any meaning, you know, because it's not something to be sorry about. But the anybody who's like it's a cliche old ass joke, then. As I'm gonna take his word for it, what he said is a joke, you know. Apparently this is a joke, he said. I'm not reading all that, but congrats or sorry. A hilarious joke, according to him. It's the same old joke as like, oh, I bet you didn't take your meds this morning or whatever. And basically anybody who injects that into a conversation is crazy, because they don't need to bring it up. They don't need to tell somebody, oh, are you like, you're acting crazy, you forgot to take your crazy pills this morning, like, oh, sorry that happened to you, you should get that fixed or whatever. You're crazy if you bring that up, because you're bringing craziness into the situation where it didn't exist before. Like you know, somebody probably said something a little off-putting or startling, and then somebody else will respond to them as this joke goes. Like, oh, did you take your meds this morning? And the person who says, did you take your meds this morning, in my opinion, is the crazy one, because why did you all of a sudden introduce craziness into a conversation that was just something that somebody was saying? Like, it should already be implied that all humans are crazy, like, anytime they're saying anything. But people just like to say it to anybody who says something that was slightly alternative or wasn't like a obvious or popular thing that people normally say. People that hate alternative content will be like, oh, what, are you crazy for saying that? You're crazy. But I think the people who are like bring craziness into the conversation unnecessarily are definitely the crazy people. You know, like what I'm doing now. But I would make the stand that I am crazier than John Brewer's Raptor Egan. I would hope against all hope. If I wasn't, I would have to maybe contemplate killing myself. If I wasn't crazier than this guy, that would be a tough pill to swallow. And it's just, I get on here and talk about the bullshit I talk about, and sometimes an example comes along that just confirms all of the things I say. Like, this is what's wrong with the world in the year 2024, is what this is what Brewer's Raptor is replying to me with. It's just like, the things that I hate when I talk about on here are all like, this is what the world is like, is this dumb thing. And this reply he made, and like, the world won't have these same problems after this, they won't have these same problems before this. It's just like, this is this reply that this guy makes, where he's just dismissing me because I'm acting like I have something to say. Because I'm talking like I have something to say. Because I do have something to say, you know. Like, oh, he just doesn't like the narcissism of it. So he's like, no, none of us have to listen to this, but only because he's following some kind of trend that he believes is true and trendy and popular and whatever. And that trend is like, everybody agreed that narcissists don't get to speak. You don't get to talk like you have something to say. So anybody in the world gets to say that this is crap that you posted just because you think you're hot shit or whatever. That's what he's saying to me. And, that's valid. It's just my knock on it is that he's just being a cool guy. He's just being popular, because that's just a trend. It's like a liberal thing. It's one of those things that's, it's like, it crosses over political lines between liberals and conservatives. Like, it is a liberal ideal to hate narcissism, but it is so prevalent today in the year 2024. It's such a big and important idea that even the right has to admit that the liberals are right about it, and that narcissists like myself are shitty. Even the right has to admit it, and this guy is like, you haven't picked up on that. Both the left and the right agree that this kind of behavior, you talking like this, is not popular right now, or whatever. And so, now I'm triggered. But the whole, I bring this to your attention because I have this platform, because I tape myself for an hour, and this is a fun thing to go over, but it's just like, all of the comments are, here's the takeaway from this guy posted this. He said whatever to my comment about, I don't know, I can't find it, fuck, He said this to my comment that, I'm not reading all that, but congrats or sorry, and then that got 14 comments, and then, basically his response to me, and then, amongst the 14 comments, he's mad at me for, talking any sort of shit back, because I don't know, I guess he thought that I wasn't qualified to talk any shit back or whatever, so he actually got mad at me for talking shit. And so a number of the 14 comments that proceeded from his quote tweet of my comment are just him bitching about what I said, or like him just trying to make everybody know that he was right or whatever. And then his followers agree with him and like what he said. And it's like, it's, to summarize what happened, it's just all of these people from Milwaukee got triggered because I called Milwaukee cheap. Because the problem here is that I was on their side. I was just giving a little dig up front at them to point out that, hey, you're not the shit just because you're able to be sarcastic towards somebody who wants higher standards for their prices in their ballpark. Like, that's not important or impressive, you know, that you're able to come up with a sarcastic comment like, oh yeah, you don't like deals. I wanted to put that dig up front, but like, I would tell them that the Brewers are the best team in baseball. They're my favorite team. They're the greatest team in baseball based on their traditions, their tailgate culture and everything. But they're going to dismiss that entirely just because April and late March 2024 dictated that it's not popular to sound like a narcissist, you know? So they're just going off of that to throw all of it away, throw away that I worked in. The buck doesn't stop there. The buck is the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a sports comment about Milwaukee that I worked that in there with a theory that is new and original and also true if you thought about it. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand the way that people are a lot. I do understand it, but I'm mad about it. I don't like it. And I don't like it because then his fans are like, the only person mad at me amongst these comments is the original guy, the Brewers Raptor. And his followers jump in on the comments to shit on me, sort of, but they generally actually compliment me, just secretly, but in a way that they just congratulate themselves for. They don't even let me in on the compliments, or like, let me explain what I mean. As I go, let me talk about some of the other comments that are here. Oh my god. I don't know how to work things. So, somebody put, Brewers should be more like Mr. Beast. What? What the rest of the comments are upset about are, the rest of the commenters besides the Brewers Raptor don't like that I cited Mr. Beast as a reference for why my post was true or whatever, because people are horrified that you would stand behind an individual. This is the same thing as people hating narcissism. They hate individualism or something. Or maybe it's just like a Milwaukee area trend, because it would seem to me that the Milwaukee area fan, this fan base, this pocket of fans within the Milwaukee, not that it's all Milwaukee fans, but this area of the country are being especially cunty about this liberal thing of hating narcissists. But, it's not so much that they hated that I brought up Mr. Beast. They picked up on that I was being ironic, because somebody said, he had me at look at Mr. Beast, and then a lot of the people that are this Brewers Raptors follower liked that comment. And so that person that said that is like making fun of me for putting the Mr. Beast, but it's still like, it's still a compliment, because he's noting that I generated the buzz, even though it was like a dumb thing to say. And so it's like they're liking me for making it this, for being able to generate the content, the comments off of what I said, but they're not liking what I said. So they're all having a party complimenting each other. I mean, they're having a party like complimenting me, but without including me or something. And because they're compliments that they're saying. Somebody commented, where's the other one? Show me more. And then the Brewers Raptors put, talking about my profile, he was like, and all his likes, defending known racist and bigot Steven Crowder. Shocking. I don't like Steven Crowder. I liked a comment from H. Pearl Davis where she mentioned that, it's funny when that video of Steven Crowder came out, that where he's like being condescending to his wife, and it obviously makes him look horrible, and I was like, oh wow, he's a really shitty guy when it came out. But then this girl, H. Pearl Davis, who's on Twitter, she was like, hey, actually, she's getting paid like thousands and thousands of dollars a month in child support, like, I don't know. She said that the wife is getting paid like X amount, like $20,000 a month in child support. And she's like, you can yell at me for $20,000 a month. And like, I mean, I would probably be hostile to somebody that I was just forking over $20,000 a month to, at least a little bit. I'm just saying, like, I thought the point that she brought up was good. Never liked Steven Crowder. I wouldn't like one something that he said. And then the guy who said he had me at Look at Mr. Beast also said, well, let me find it. I love it. Someone put, are you stupid? Question mark. That's the funny shit about this post is that that's something like what you should reply. Somebody put somewhere like this is a Jordan Peterson level analysis, like to make fun of me or to make fun of Jordan Peterson, like make fun of individuals and narcissists. And that's just like high praise, you know. This is just that's a compliment that you're complimenting me for. Again, these people are just like complimenting each other for complimenting me, but without including me in it or something like that, you know. And so that's that. And the takeaway is just that they were all triggered because I called Milwaukee cheap, because if they were able to look past that, I mean, if I all I had to do to be on their side was say the same shit that they were saying, like, yeah, that guy's wrong or whatever, or at least not include a line about Milwaukee being cheap. They got triggered about that. And yes, but anyway, I wanted to declare the details of why I won that argument and go back into it. I was gonna post this, like when I post the video, and then include Brewer's Raptor in it just so he could see. I mean, I know that he wouldn't hear any of it because he doesn't have the ability to pay attention to something for longer than a minute, so he wouldn't make it more than a minute into my video, you know, to hear that I was roasting him, or like he doesn't care or whatever. But he was like, my original post is a joke and what. I mean, you just like, if you follow me on Twitter, you can see all the entire thread of it and what it was about. But it's just that people are threatened when I'm more right than most people. I now understand. I feel just like liberated in some senses, knowing that there are people that are this dumb on Twitter that like fall for what I said, and I mean like that you're willing to not treat what I said as a joke. I mean that's the thing, is that you're like failing to realize that my joke is bigger than your joke about it. And if you fail to realize that, then I'm surrounding you. I'm better than you. And this is just like, people come up to me and they're like, people will say to me often, what's wrong with you? And some of that is because they can't find what's wrong with me. Like, people have trouble making fun of me sometimes, which kind of makes me feel bad. And but really they do, and it's because I'm more right than they are. It's just that people aren't used to somebody who's more right than they are, and this is like the entire world is. Like, I bring up Mr. Beast, and people are just horrified that I'm citing another individual as... I'm upholding the example of an individual as, like, as worthy or, like, something you should learn from. Because the world is, like, thinks that we shouldn't be listening to anybody more than anybody else. Maybe you could say Elon Musk in that situation. In that situation that I brought it up, it's just like so cringy to people that I'd be like, oh, look at what Mr. Beast is doing. Because it's like Mr. Beast is kind of like a goon in and of himself. Like that just like his videos are so clickbaity and whatever. Like any individual, like me as an individual being like, look at this guy, just is like the dorkiest sounding thing ever. And people are horrified that you would do that, even though when you think about it, it's like this guy is making millions and millions of dollars more than any one of us on here. So it's like that is the person we should be going to for knowledge. If you think about it, if you're willing to go out, if you're willing to look past like that, it's trendy to hate people or whatever. You could maybe say Elon Musk in that situation, but even that would be like bad. Like Elon Musk is another example of this hyperly successful individual that people hate. And like this Brewers Raptor guy, I wanted to post it and then put him in the post that I make, like, oh, he did tell me to write a blog, but it's like it's whatever. I'm just having fun. I respect it, Brewers Raptor. I respect that you would take the time out of your day to stoop to your level. I have fewer followers than you to comment, quote tweet something I said. And so let's make that a bigger deal. Then let's make that even bigger now. A deal. And let's see. I think we got some fire. I think we got some fire here. You know, I think that the fire is starting, and let's keep putting kindling on it. You know, that's how I feel. People are like, oh my god, like, don't talk about Mr. Beast. Like I would be so blind as like I just watch Mr. Beast videos all day. Like a dumbass that watches Mr. Beast videos only, or watches all of them. I mean, I've seen them. I just wouldn't be like, I've seen his videos. I just wouldn't be like, yeah, let's look to Mr. Beast or whatever. But I mean, temporarily for the moment in one comment, sure, I would do anything in any one moment, you know. It's not like it's sustained. It's the same for the same reason that I title every one of these episodes a different thing. What makes it cringy is if you keep doing it the same, if you keep doing the same thing, if you keep you're like, if you're stuck on it, that you're like, oh, I keep talking about this. Like, if for the next 10 episodes I talked about Brewer's Raptor, you know, that would make me all of those things that they're saying that I am. And it's just like this culture of people that think they're so far ahead of the times because they know about mental health and whatever. And they're like what I'm doing is a defense mechanism. First of all, what people label as defense mechanisms are actually offense mechanisms. Like this, what I'm doing right now, this is going on the offensive just to, and people hate it. Just because it's, I don't know. Just because I'm giving speech to it and bragging about it. And people be like, oh, you're not bragging, you're being defensive because you have some hole that you're trying to fill in your life. Because you need attention and you're just a shitty person who was raised wrong or whatever. And like, it's not that. It's just you have to accept that I am bragging and I am talking shit. It's the same as Dan Hurley winning the national title for UConn yesterday. It's like CBS, the Stooges on their broadcasters during the game, and like the Seth Davis, who is an analyst before and after the game, hate the shit out of Dan Hurley, an example of somebody like him, because he's acting like a narcissist, because he's bragging, because they're like, oh, this is clearly what we need to communicate to the world is shitty behavior. For some reason, it falls to them, their fucking self-righteousness, their high sense of morality, that they're like better than other people, Seth Davis and Bill Raftery, these fucking sports broadcasters that think they're fucking, they get to tell everybody what morality is. Like, what Dan Hurley is doing is shitty. He's talking to the refs and whatever. What I'm talking about is that over the past week, the world has started to turn on Dan Hurley, the coach of UConn, just as he's about to win back-to-back championships. Because first of all, they fucking hate when an individual is successful. A white straight male is successful as part of it too, but that's not the important part of it. They would hate if he was a black man and won back-to-back championships at UConn as well. And now all of a sudden everybody in the world is popular to take Zach Edey and Purdue's side, even though they're the biggest complainers to the refs of any team that we've seen in recent memory, or whatever it is. I don't know. Purdue has a special relationship to the refs, and Dan Hurley was going after that special relationship during the game by walking onto the court and talking to Zach Edey. That's just a winning strategy. It's like, this is what you have to do now to win championships. You always have to evolve your strategies in sports. That's the whole point. That's what gives people the edge to help them win, is that they came up with something new that somebody wasn't doing before that helped them win. In this case, Dan Hurley was utilizing talking to the opposing team's players, walking onto the court and being insulting to them in order to win the championship. Like, and so, I mean, do we celebrate winners or not, you know? And do we celebrate new winning strategies, or are we like, oh, actually, you can't do what it takes to win. That's shitty, you know? This is just a competitive advantage that he is putting forward into the sport to be like, this is a new way to win championships. Not that that is what won him the game, but like, Bill Raftery, I believe his first name is Bill, the longtime sports broadcaster, storied legend of broadcasting, is just a CBS stooge who sides with the refs every time or whatever. Was on his high horse telling everybody that Dan Hurley's behavior was shitty just because he wanted to win the championship, basically. It's the same as that. And people hate him. People started to turn on him because he was bragging a couple days in a press conference before the national championship game, before he won. He was bragging about how, basically, that they were going to win, and I don't remember what he said exactly, but it was obvious that he was so conceited as to think that his team was so much better than everybody else. And people just fucking hate. They're like, oh, you're not allowed to brag in any regard today, because that just makes you shitty. Like, you don't get to talk about things as if they are true, as if you believe them, you know? As if you're like, oh, I believe this will happen because I am this great, and so this thing will happen in the future. It will continue to happen because I am a continuing entity myself or whatever, and because I believe in myself and believe in the energy I'm putting out, these things will continue to happen, and I believe they will, and we will like win, or this will happen in the future or whatever. You're not allowed to make any predictions based off of your own strength, because everybody's supposed to be unendingly humble about everything or whatever. And if you're not, and it's just I'd argue it's governed by Christian values ultimately, even though people aren't able to give a voice to that. It's the church is doing it. The church is making worldly people. The church is what sets the tone for world people to decide, okay, how are we going to be moral? Because worldly people are less moral than the church. And they're really just trying to figure out the way to do the church's bidding for them, you know. And they're just trying to figure out what the church deems to be popular, and then govern the rest of the world based off of that. But it's like the same as Jim Harbaugh before the Big Ten championship game this year. Jim Harbaugh en route to winning the national championship in college football. He was giving press conferences like really cocky, like he before the Iowa game was like, oh, we're about to demolish Iowa in this game. We have so, our program is light years ahead of theirs. We have so many more resources in terms of recruiting and whatever, like fitness centers and anything. He's like, we're way better than them. We're going to dominate them in this game and whatever. And he said that in press conference before the game, and they did dominate the game and they won. But it's like having that confidence is just a new... It's not what you're supposed to do, the opposite in a press conference. You're supposed to, the world needs you to be humble and self-deprecating because the world is retarded and they think that you, if you brag about yourself, then you're going to be proven wrong no matter what, whatever. And it's like, that does happen sometimes. And it's just like, people really like to glamorize it when it does, sensationalize it. Because they want the person to be proven as wrong as possible. Like, people love the person to be proven wrong, and they, but anyways, these are, like, winning strategies being employed by the two head coaches of the teams that won the football national championship and the men's college basketball national championship this year. They're on the cutting edge of winning, and they are of the mindset, apparently, that go out and like brag, overly brag about it to the point because that the world is going to consider that ridiculous because they're going to be like, you're wrong just for thinking you're right. But the world needs to be more humble. They need to be more accepting of that some people are more right, more intelligent than they are. And so I go on Twitter and I realize like there are people that are more, they're just more, they're dumber than me because they think it's this other lesser thing, you know. It's just that I'm more right than other people. And what people will sometimes say to me, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with me is that it's harder to find things that are wrong with me. What's wrong with me is that you're not used to being around somebody that's as right as I am, that's this much more right than other people usually are. And that's the way that right and wrong works. It's relative, just like everything else. People like to treat it like it applies the same to everybody. And that couldn't possibly be true, right? There's people that are smarter than other people. And people want to ignore this for right versus wrong. They want to be like, everybody's wrong because like, if you're wrong once, then you're the same amount of wrong as everybody, or like, because everybody's wrong. And it's true that everybody is wrong, and I'm wrong often, and I'm not just superficially wrong, I'm deeply wrong sometimes. And it's still like, I'm more right than other people though, because I don't really know. It's hard to describe. It's just that I'm more self-aware. The rest of the world wants it to be like, you have to admit that you're wrong. The rest of the world just wishes everybody was as unself-aware as they were. As they are, but it's kind of like it's just that I will hold on to what I said and be like, yeah, that was true. That's what I meant. I know why I meant it. I know the intention behind it. There's a lot of details. There's a lot I could, it's probably because I can go deep into describing why it happened. That's why I'm more right than other people. And, it's just abhorrent to the world for you to say something like that, especially in this current point in time. And it's like the being wrong is a lie, and the truth is right, and then what isn't the truth is wrong. But in the same vein, you can't ignore then that being wrong is a lie more than being right. Being right is true, being wrong is a lie. And the reason that being wrong is a lie is because when people want you to be wrong, it's always for like superficial appearances to measures. Just they want you to have sounded wrong. Like when somebody like has you on something, it's this superficial thing where they're like, they need you to admit that you're wrong, that you sounded wrong, not that you were, you know. They just want you to have admit that you sounded wrong in front of a group of people, because it's like a group of people or whoever will have a popular narrative, and then you have your own narrative, and everybody wants you to be constantly admitting as you're going about life, just saying things out of your mouth that like, well, you as an individual don't know what you're talking about, because you have to concede to the group at every moment because the group narrative is popular. Your narrative is alternative. You wouldn't know, like, because your narrative is lesser, you can't, you can't ride off of what you're saying. Like, your version of events is just your own narrative, and you have to. But, like, people want you to admit that you have your own narrative in this case or whatever, this thing, so that, and so, like, I'll admit that I'm wrong, you know, just because it's socially good to do that. Because people need to be appeased, because they're stupid, honestly, because they're idiots. Like, I have to constantly stoop down to people's level to the point that they think that I'm dumber than they are, because, like, I'm saying so many obvious things just to try to be in line with their level of obviosity. And you know, it's just that, like, being wrong is a lie. I'll admit that I'm wrong, but just know that most of the time that's just a lie. The same as everybody else is doing to be wrong. It's a lie. When people are saying they're wrong, they don't think they're wrong. They think that they're right. It's just that some people are bulldozed over by a group narrative where they're like, okay, yeah, I have to say that you were right. Or they don't. A lot of people are like, they have to concede to popularity because they're not smart enough to see around it or hold on to their own narratives and say what they are saying is definitely true. And like, I'll tell you that I'm wrong, but most of the time I think, like, well, of course I'm not wrong, because it's just that I'm the only one that believes it, and that's the world doesn't like that, you know. But not to say whatever. This is very, very conceited. I just wanted to give a picture of this Twitter feud, and I just wanted to share it. Generosity, the generosity. I just wanted to share it and give a moving picture of it as best I could from my perspective. My glorious perspective that people seldom get to see, and that they should not take for granted, because they're so lucky to have received it, you know. And when you get to, it's just that this knowledge is my knowledge, but when you come upon rare knowledge, you know, knowledge that is rarely given in a rare fashion. It's not to be taken lightly. It's heavier. My truth is heavier than yours. But I mean, not really. I'll say that I'm wrong about it or whatever. It's not right to make this. I mean, sure it is. It's completely right, and that's why I made it. I think that it's right to go, but to go into it. What might not be right about it is, like, explaining it in detail just to prove. But you know, I think that it's like, if somebody was asking me these questions about, like, why'd you make this post or whatever, why'd you reply to this, it would be better to answer them honestly than to hide behind a character that's like, oh, I wonder, be like Crispin Glover on David Letterman. Which I guess I will explain my thoughts on that probably in the next episode. I'll lead into that. Crispin Glover on David Letterman. That's your homework. Watch that video before my next episode, so that you can, whatever. Just kidding, you know. Thank you. Goodbye. And see you later.